A reading from the letter of Paul to the Philippians, chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. This is the word of the Lord.
Isn't that a beautiful reading? It's one of my favorites, Paul's letter to the church in Philippi. This was a church whom he loved. The whole letter, such as it is, it's not a long letter, he's writing from prison. And yet over and over again, he talks about his joy and his love for this church. It was a far from perfect church. Lots seems to be some squabbling inside the church, some tensions. Whoever knew such things happened in churches? And yet Paul is reminding them of the higher call that they have, that Christ has upon their lives. It was a church that was, as all of the early churches, in biblical times, they were a part of the Roman Empire, and they were under Roman authority and oppression. And so there was always a struggle in the church to define what it means to follow Christ in the age of Caesar. So even for early Christians, we kind of lose this, but to call Christ Lord is to say that our allegiance is to Christ even above Caesar. And when Caesar and all of the Roman authorities and governors walk around parading all of their power and their might and their military strength, Paul reminds the Christians that they follow Christ, Jesus, who didn't, even though he was equal with God, count that to be something to be lorded over people, but rather to humble himself. And so this version of Christianity, not version, it is in fact the faith, this Christianity that Paul is giving to these early Christians is a reminder that to love Christ, to serve Christ, is countercultural for sure. It stands in opposition to everything that would oppress, but rather comes in humility and grace. These words, if there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing of the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, have the same love, be in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, regard others as better than yourself. This text goes on in what scholars will call a Christological hymn. It is, in the Greek, it's a very rhythmic sounding hymn that is meant to just sort of, you know, when you put words to a song, into a song, you remember it. And it sort of dwells in your heart. And so this was a song to remind the early Christians of who they were and whose they were. Like them, we live at a very divided time, a time where it often seems like everybody is divided against one another, whether it is along racial lines or economic lines, whether it is along issues around sexual orientation, whether it is around global boundaries and borders, whether it is around even just different sects within Christianity. We find ourselves always wanting to position ourselves to somehow claim that one part of the body of Christ, one person, one country, one entity is better than another. This has been happening for a very long time. And so Paul reminds the people of this self-emptying love of Christ. I love that term, self-emptying. It is, if you are a praying person, and I hope you are, or a meditating person, I invite you to be thinking about that term this week. What does it mean to empty ourselves of our divisions, of our the things that we claim our stake on, the things that we use to divide us? What does it mean to empty ourselves so that we might be filled with Christ? And if indeed Christ, who was in the form of God, can be emptied, can we not let go of some of the things that hold us? Some of those boundaries of our ego or our class or our race or our whatever those lines are, can we let them go in order that Christ might be raised up in our lives? On this World Communion Sunday, it is a Sunday that started in 1936 with the Presbyterian Church in this country and then got adopted by the World Council of Churches in 1940. You can imagine the things happening in our country and around the world in 1940. As Nazism and fascism, as war was brooding, as divisions were becoming more stark, the church sought to remind believers and has every year since that we are all one in Christ. That doesn't mean there aren't differences. That doesn't mean there aren't things that we're going to disagree on. But that in Christ we are going to come to a common table and that we are going to be reminded that our highest calling, our deepest conviction, our only hope really, is taking on the same mind that is in Christ. Have you been to the cathedral in Los Angeles? Anybody been there? Yeah. It's a beautiful, beautiful cathedral, and it has these wonderful tapestries along the side walls of the cathedral, and the tapestries start at the back and go all the way to the table. And they are images of different people. People of Los Angeles and people around the world. There are images of people who are living, children. Mother Teresa is in the line, as is a little kid with a Dodgers baseball cap. No angels in that line, sorry. There are people of every flesh tone, There are people of all sorts of national identities. You can see it in their garb. There are all these beautiful people on both sides of the church making their way to Christ's table. For me, it was an incredibly moving image. And it's what I think of each Sunday when we celebrate communion, but on World Communion Sunday, I think of it especially. Because I imagine that in between you, in between the spaces as we come down for communion, are all the saints of the church, all the saints of Riviera, those that are past, and those that can't be here today. I imagine in that line coming forward for communion are those great saints of the church. There's Mother Teresa in the line, and Hildegard of Bingen, and St. Francis of Assisi. And indeed, even Christ among us. So I want you to imagine today, as you come forward to Christ's table, that there is somebody in that line with whom you have disagreements. That there is somebody in that line with whom you have drawn outside of God's love. Maybe you wouldn't actually say it that way, but your heart is hardened. Imagine them coming forward with you, kneeling with you perhaps, standing with you, standing with Christ to receive of this table of grace and mercy and compassion. Christ calls all of us to this table. This Christological hymn is deep and profound. And the last little section sometimes gets lost because there's just so much richness in here. But I love this phrase, and for those of us of the Wesleyan Methodist persuasion, it's a big one. Therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but more now in my absence, work out your own salvation. In our Methodist tradition, we would call this the work of sanctification, working on our relationship with God and with one another, learning to love God, learning to love our neighbor, learning to love even our enemies. That's the work of Christ's church, working toward our salvation and the salvation of the world. Our salvation is known in the ways that we love and care for one another. Friends, in the midst of these divided times, may this table always be a table of grace, of openness, of compassion, where all are welcome, where we find in this place Christ. Let us pray. Gracious God, you call to us with a message of humility, calling us to humble ourselves, to empty ourselves, to release those things that bind us in order that you might fill us with love. So God, as we gather this morning, may we gather at your table in communion with brothers and sisters everywhere. Be with us and help us to see Christ. Amen.